It's a Monday. It's crunch time. It's the final segment, which means we wrap with the Richter scale coming at you.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody. Nick Rogers back in the KUJZ studios for the Richter Scale, which is, of course, where I bring up the biggest stories and events from the world of sports over the weekend. And Steve and Alex, when he's here, they rate how big of an impact those events have. We begin in the state of Arizona, who had a wild weekend in college football. The Kevin Sumlin-led Wildcats were blown out at Houston, Houston wins 45-18, and the Sun Devils pulled out a nail-biter of a win against Michigan State, as Herm Edwards has ASU 2-0, and Sumlin and the Arizona Wildcats are 0-2, just like we all thought in the preseason. Many people in Delaware are now throwing out their Khalil Tate for Heisman betting tickets, as Tate only has one touchdown, two interceptions, and 22 rushing yards so far this season. How surprising are these two results for college football?
Well, knock me over with a feather over Arizona State. If you watched Arizona the last four games of the year, even though he played well in the bowl, it seemed like a lot of teams kind of figured out Khalil Tate. And I saw Alex mention it somewhere, and I agree with him. I am pleased to be wrong so far about Herm Edwards. But if you incorporate it all, my surprise level, a 9. Absolutely. I never would have had it like this. No way. No way.
Same here. Scott Frost finally made his debut, and it was in a Big 12 rival, or a former Big 12 rivalry game, as the Huskers took on the Buffs from Boulder. It was another nail-biter to the end, as Nebraska had a chance to win with just 7 seconds left, but the Buffs hold on. Nebraska had almost 600 total yards in Frost's first game, but they also had 5 total turnovers. How do you rate Scott Frost's debut at Nebraska?
Yeah, that was a little frustrating. I mean, you know, the first ever true freshman to start a game for Big Red, Adrian Martinez, got dinged, had to come out in the final series. The walk-on backup brought him all the way down. They had a couple of shots at the end zone. How would I rate his debut? They lost to Colorado, who's had one good season in the Pac-12. Otherwise, they've had a losing record in this league. So the performance, exciting, what it might, the future might bring, but walking out of that stadium sold out for the 8,983,000th time.
84,000.
I'm going to give that a 5. That's a middle of the road. Good performance, didn't win.
Well, the rest of college football was certainly a 10 for the weekend, and the first NFL Sunday of the year has to at least be an 11, starting in Cleveland, where the Browns continued their winless streak from December 2016 as the Browns tied the Steelers 21-21. There were 2 missed field goals in OT. Josh Gordon returned to the NFL with a game-tying touchdown reception. Le'Veon Bell was not missed at all as James Conner rushed for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Browns were +5 in the turnover margin, opening up so many questions like, can the Browns go 0-15-1 or maybe 0-0-16? How do you rate the week one performance of the Browns?
Well, they didn't lose, but they could have won. The fact that the Browns ended up tying after
talk,
that there's no way around that being, for this segment, the definitive 10. It was hysterical. I was sitting there by myself laughing. It was beautiful. It's a 10.
I wanted Hugh Jackson to go full Donovan McNabb and forget that, you know, games can end in ties and, like, Cleveland take a knee or run the ball with 13 seconds left. That would have just been great.
Now I'm ticked off that didn't happen.
I know. Khalil Mack played so well on Sunday night that he made being traded for 2 first-rounders look like a steal. Mack in the first half had 1 sack, a fumble recovery, a forced fumble, an interception, and a touchdown. And in the second half, Aaron Rodgers came back from a pretty bad-looking left knee injury, led the Packers from a 20-0 hole to win 24-23. Rodgers in the second half threw for 273 yards, 3 touchdowns. How do you rate the performances of Mack and Rodgers?
Well, the weird thing is Mack was so dominant, but because he held out and it looked like he ran out of gas a little bit in the latter part of the third quarter into the fourth.
A little tired.
But, you know, he became the first player, you know, with a defensive touchdown and a sack and an interception, and we know what he is, and we realize Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden are just idiots forever getting rid of him. And then, of course, Rodgers, for the first time in his career, throws three touchdowns in a single quarter. So because they lost, I've got to go 9 for Mac. And because he won coming off the deck, I got to go 10 for Aaron Rodgers.
People forget that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. He used that Harvard knowledge to absolutely destroy the Saints' defense as he passed for 417 yards and 4 touchdowns against a Saints defense that only gave up 400 passing yards once, and that was to Tom Brady. Not to be outdone, though, Drew Brees threw for 439 yards and 3 touchdowns. Which quarterback had the better day, Fitzpatrick or Brees?
I like the fact that you could look at the Saints and say, do you ever play good defense unless Greg Williams has bounties on other players?
It's never done.
And so clearly, so do I have to rate them or do I have to say who had a better day?
Yeah, rate both of them. Why not?
Well, you got to go with a 10 for Fitzpatrick because he won on the road, by the way, in an important game starting out with a South matchup, but Brees is just insane. What'd he throw? 8 incompletions, 440 yards, but he lost. Not really his fault. I'm going to go 9.5.
All right, that'll do it.